بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 9 of this blessed book of عمدة الأحكام. And the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdurrahman, would you do us the honor, please?
Narrated, Yahya al-Ma'zini, a person asked Abdullah ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, the grandfather of Amr bin Yahya, can you show me how the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, used to perform ablution? Abdullah ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him, replied in the affirmative and asked for water. He poured it on his hands and washed them twice. Then he rinsed his mouth 3 times and washed his nose with water 3 times by putting water in it and blowing it out. He washed his face 3 times, and after that he washed his forearms up to the elbows 2 times, and then passed his wet hands over his head from its front to its back and vice versa, beginning from the front and taking them to the back of his head up to the nape of the neck, and then brought them to the front again from where he started and washed his feet up to the ankles.
Very well. Also, there is another narration that he started from the beginning of his head till the back of his head and then going back where he started from. In another narration, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Abdullah ibn Zayd, he came to us and we got him a bucket of copper, made of copper. And all of these hadiths are agreed upon. This hadith is similar to the hadith of Uthman, which we spoke about last time we met. But there are differences, slight differences. And as you know, a student of knowledge does not take his knowledge out of one hadith or one ayah. This is wrong methodology. You have to look at the evidences and the proofs from Islam, Quran and Sunnah as a whole. Because you can come to one hadith or one verse and apply it not knowing that it was abrogated. So someone comes to the verse of the Quran where Allah says, O you who believe, do not approach prayer while in the state of intoxication. Someone says, oh, alhamdulillah, Isha is quite early, it's about 7 o'clock, and Fajr is quite late, 6 o'clock. I can drink and drink and drink and have no problem. Allah says, do not do this while you're intoxicated, which means it's okay for me to drink. So, no. It was abrogated by another verse where Allah says, completely abandon drinking. It's haram. It's an evil doing. So if you go to one verse without looking and searching for the other verses, if you take one hadith without looking at it through the whole of Sunnah, you will go astray. So we have to combine evidences. And so many times people say, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. But in another hadith, he said so and so. So they go in contradiction. Can this be? Can the hadith go against the Quran? Can the Quran go against itself? It is from the same source. It's all from Allah Azza wa Jal. That is why the student of knowledge has to be very, very careful when he studies these different evidences. And this you will find in the science of ulum or usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh. What to do when we have two conflicting evidences? What to do? There are 4 steps. First step, we have to try and combine them both. How to combine them both? And this is the best and most favorable way of doing it. How? We look at these two evidences and see if we can apply them both at the same time. If yes, alhamdulillah, we've applied them both and they're all there. Example. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. It has been made unlawful for you the dead meat and blood. This is what used to be done in the Jahiliyyah time, where they used to slaughter, and still people do it now, I think. There are some countries, even in Europe, they consider this to be a delicacy. When they slaughter an animal, they drain the blood in a bucket or in a bow, and this would be used for food, for whatever. Now, this is dam masfuh. And this is running blood, which is completely prohibited. So the dead meat, which is not slaughtered Islamically, or it was slaughtered to other than the name of Allah, or it died by falling from a mountain, by being stunned, by being suffocated, by being electrocuted, any reason other than slaughtering or hunting, if it's not a tamed and a domestic animal. This is maita. And dam, blood. So this is an ayah verse from the Quran. Then we get another hadith. The Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, it has been made for us permissible two deads and two bloods. The two deads, the locust and the fish. You don't find someone fishing and then says, okay, bismillah, Allahu Akbar, I want to slaughter it. Slaughter what? The fish, you do not slaughter. Okay, but it suffocated, it died, it did not have any oxygen. Yes, this is the meat of the sea. We eat it as it is. So the Prophet is telling us that the locust, you know, that comes in millions and millions of flying objects, this is, it has meat and it can be eaten without slaughtering. So this is dead. It's found dead in Arabia and a lot of the other countries who face this, they usually put it in big bags. On the floor, from the ground, they put it, it's dead. And they use it and they eat it. They eat our crops, we eat it. So they pay for it. And two bloods, the spleen and the liver. Because liver is what? It's blood. It's not meat. It is full of blood. It is made of blood. So one, when he comes to these two hadiths, what do? We combine by saying, yes, every single dead meat is haram except these two, and every blood is haram except these two organs, as the Prophet said. So the first ayah is general, and this hadith is specific. It is taking out of this general context an exception. This is the best way of doing it. Likewise, if you go on, I can give you examples, but this is not fundamentals of fiqh, and I don't want to distract you. So this is the best way of doing it. The second way, if we are unable to join, we have two evidences conflicting with each other. We don't know which one is which. We don't know how to combine them. One goes left and the other goes right. They're opposite. Then the scholars say we have to look at the date. If we know the date, the latest abrogates the first. This is called naskh. And we have a lot of naskh in the Quran. Allah says in the Quran that abrogation is there. And the example, the clear example, which we've mentioned a while ago, intoxication, khamr. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal stated that they ask you about intoxication and gambling, say, there is a lot of sin in them and benefits, but the benefits are far less than the sins and the burden. So it becomes, this is a question. So now we know it's haram. Before that, it was permitted for them to drink, but do not approach prayer while you are in the case of intoxication. So in the beginning, you're not allowed to pray while being drunk. But if you're not praying, it's okay to drink. Then they ask you about gambling and intoxications. The sins are far greater, yet it's not haram. I'm telling you, it's not recommended. Don't do it. The third level, Allah says, verily, that these things are from the acts of shaitan, so stay away from it. فَاشْتَنِبُوهُ. So this completely abrogated everything that came before it. Thirdly, if we have two conflicting evidences, we cannot combine the two together by saying that this is general and this is specific. We do not know the time which abrogated which. In this case, we have to look in the hadith or in the degree. So if it's a verse of the Quran and a prophetic saying conflicting, we say we'll take the Quran. If there are two hadiths, one in Bukhari and one in the Tirmidhi, Bukhari is much higher. And by doing this, we are taking the strongest of the two. However, sometimes they are in the same level. We cannot join. We cannot know which one abrogated which. And at the same time, they are in the same level, both in Bukhari, both in the Quran. What to do? This is very hypothetical. That's why we don't have examples for it. But if this happens, scholars say, in this case, you have to stop. How do I stop? Both evidences are correct, but my intellect, my logic is unable to work it out, so I accuse my logic. I accuse my intellect by saying, I abstain, I stop, and we have to look for other scholars to give us their feedback because they may have more information and more knowledge than I do. And in this case, we have applied both hadith. I stop until someone clarifies it for me. This is all the time we have for the first segment. We have a short break. Don't go away, stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.